Amen. If you would be turning with us to Genesis chapter number three, and we'll try to give you what the Lord's placed on our heart. I'd like to also read in the book of Hebrews some too before we preach tonight for our reading. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now turn with me, if you will, keep your place there, to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And we'll read a few verses here. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now we've got a good definition of faith there. Something to think about, something to sort of muse over and examine. But I believe that that statement in verse number 1, that definition, is best supported by the context. And if you look and examine the lives of these people that it's talking about here that had faith, you can better understand what faith means and what the biblical definition of faith is. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." You see, that wasn't Cain. His way wasn't of faith, but it was of works. Amen? And so, thus, I believe in this text here, it links faith all the way to the beginning. All the way to the beginning. Through faith we understand. I'm glad we can understand some things tonight through faith and know some things. "That the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." I don't sit around wondering how that this creation come about. By the way, I stay away from the terminology nature. Especially Mother Nature. I believe that's a heresy to use the term Mother Nature. Creation's what it is, amen? But I don't sit around at night and wonder how in the world did all this get here. I know, and I understand how, through faith. Because this book's right, and God created, amen? The things we see are not made of things which do appear. Verse 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Let's pray right there and ask for the Lord's help. God, as we stand tonight, God, we need your help. God, we need you to anoint us. And God, we realize how serious of a thing it is, God, to be able to take the Word of God and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Lord, we ask that you'd help us to do that tonight. but in all things that Jesus Christ would receive all glory and honor. And God, you'd be pleased with us here tonight. We ask, Lord, for the Christian, that the Christian be strengthened, edified. And Lord, if there be anybody in our presence tonight that's lost, I pray that Holy Ghost conviction would shine upon their heart and show them that they need to be saved, that they can be saved through and by the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in Him. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So here in our text in Genesis, we arrive at the account here of the fall of Adam. And it is, but before that, we see that Adam was created in the image of God. Now, none of this was done at random. None of this was done for no reason. But there's a reason and a purpose behind everything that God does. I believe that, don't you? God's just not, you know, out shooting in the dark, so to speak. He's not shooting from the hip. But God has a purpose in what He does. From our standpoint, sometimes we know, and though sometimes we know, it's in the Word of God, and He tells us. And there's some things that God does that we don't understand, and we won't understand till we get over there. I believe Christians have to come to terms with that. There's some things that we're not going to understand. We're not God. We're not on His level. We're not on His wavelength, so to speak. We're carnal. God is eternal. We're down here and He's up there, and it's that simple. But I'm glad for the things that we can know and that we can understand. But I believe as far as the reason He created Adam in the image of God, I believe that one of the purposes was is that so that God could have fellowship with man, and so that God could fellowship with Adam, and so Adam enjoyed that fellowship. And I believe whenever he was in the garden and the sin curse had yet to come and all that, I believe he had a time and that represented what we'd call the paradise of God, what we consider heaven. It was a place where there was no sin. It was a place where he had fellowship with God without any restriction, without any reservation. Yeah, I know we're saved. I know that we have access to the throne, and the veil has been written from top to bottom, giving us access. But still yet, we're in this flesh, and we still have the presence of sin about us. But that time was a time like we're looking forward to. And so the fall of man came, and it was it started with the serpent. Iniquity was found in him. He was more subtle than any beast of the field, and he came as a coward, amen. He picked on the woman first, what the Bible calls the weaker vessel, and so he found his way in there to that home, and he deceived the woman, and it all surrounded around whether or not God was right. It started out with him just putting a question mark beside the Word of God, and then he sort of changed the Word of God, and then he eventually denied the Word of God. He added to the Word of God. And we see that today, amen, and we ought to count that as a serious thing. But something I saw as I was studying this, the Bible tells us there in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, so we know that the woman, she took of the fruit first and gave it to Adam. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. But it was reversed of how they partook of the fruit. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So here I believe from this text, the Bible says Adam was not deceived. In other words, he knew exactly what he was doing. He wasn't deceived. He knew what God had told him. He knew that in the day that he eat that fruit that he would surely die. But I believe, by the way, Adam's a type of Christ. Amen. He's an anti-type and also a type at the same time. He's an anti-type in that, sin, he brought sin and death to all men, but Christ brought righteousness to all men. But if you look in typology, Adam was very wise. He was given the charge and name and all the animals. He had that duty and that responsibility. God made him, put him over the earth, and God put him over the animals and over the plants. and made him dominion over those things. And we see a type of that in Christ's millennial kingdom, that he'll rule and reign on this earth. But my favorite part is whenever Adam was, God put him to sleep, and he put a wound in his side and took out that rib. Out of that wound come forth his bride, praise God. I'm glad our heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he was wounded for our sin, there was a bride formed. And friend, I'm glad that we're part of that bride tonight, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the church. And so Adam here, I believe that he knew exactly what he was doing when he partook of that fruit. And so he took a part of that fruit, and I believe he loved his bride so much that he was willing to die for her. Praise God, I'm glad that our heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, loved us so much he was willing to die for us. Bible says that he knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise God, he took that sin upon him. He didn't have to do that. He laid down his life for you and I and took upon that sin, just as Adam, from that time forward, Adam was the one now that is responsible for that sin. He's the one that's responsible for the sin of mankind. And so now Adam is in a place where that fellowship that he once had with God, he was designed, he was created in the image of God. He wasn't an animal, amen. God breathed into his nostrils a living soul. God created him in a special way to have special fellowship with God. And now that fellowship is broken. You see, Adam knowed what it was like to have pure fellowship with God. He was in innocence, and now he has a conscience. Now he has an awareness of evil, and he knows now that he's fallen off into sin, and he knows now that something's got to take place, something's got to happen, and something's different now about his relationship with God, and something's got to give, amen. And so I'd like to speak tonight upon the subject of faith in the beginning. Faith in the beginning. And so how was he going to do this? How was he going to go back to where he had that fellowship with God? And so Adam was made aware of his sinful condition, I believe, through a conscience. I believe a conscience is a God-given thing. God gives man a conscience, and that has a part in leading you to the Lord. It gives you awareness of right and wrong. And a person may not understand yet clearly about what the Bible says about salvation, but I believe that God gives a man enough to know, hey, what I'm doing is wrong. And it puts him on the path to hear the Word of God and to line that up with the Word of God. And God, it's a God-given thing. I believe it can be seared. Amen. Hey, some people don't have a conscience. You see, some of the things that's going on in our country might give you a little bit better awareness of why some of those things are happening. I believe her conscience has been seared with a hot iron, as the Bible says. But tonight, I believe that Adam was given that awareness, and he knew that he had to do something, and so he gave the best effort that he could. And the Bible says that he sewed fig leaves together and tried to cover himself. He tried to conceal his nakedness. But the Bible says that he was still naked, and he still wasn't clothed, and he still was naked there in chapter 3 and verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You know, before that, he had no problem when he heard God and the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. He wouldn't have had any trouble going up to him and talking to him. But now that he's a sinner, now that he's slipped off into sin, hey, there's a problem when the presence of God comes around. Now he knows that something's wrong. And despite all of his efforts that he tried to do and piece together, he was still naked. He's the two people that knowed he still wasn't covered. God knowed that he wasn't covered. And number two, he knowed that he wasn't covered. Amen. It's a great picture of salvation, Brother Brian. It's no coincidence you sung that song tonight. Lord, would you come down to me? And certainly he did. That's a picture of salvation. Adam wasn't out there calling for God, looking for where God was at. But God come to where he was at and come calling for him. Hey, that's how salvation works. It's God coming down to man. It's God making himself available to a sinner so that they could be saved. By the way, he's still doing that. That's how he still works, praise God. He's still coming down. He's still coming down to our level where we're at. and speaking to sinners and telling them they can be saved, telling them to come to Christ. But he thought that he would do something. And you've heard the saying that, you know, something's better than nothing. But in this case, that wasn't true. Any effort that he tried to do wasn't good enough because they were still naked. As I studied this, I found this interesting. You know, it mentions the fig tree here, the fig leaves. Another place the fig tree is mentioned is when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Amen. Ain't that something? And then that's sort of in the context of denouncing religion. You know, he dealt with the Pharisees, the Herod, he dealt with all that crowd, the Sadducees and all that bunch. And he cursed that fig tree. And friend, I believe as we study the Word of God, we see two streams here. We see that one that is of faith, that trusts God. And you see the one that is of works. And we see that here in a minute in Cain and Abel. But Jesus cursed the fig tree. And I believe it's pointing to how that religion is not going to get you to God. Religion doesn't deal with sin. Those fig leaves that he sewed together didn't deal with the sin. It just offered a little bit of covering. But it didn't offer any forgiveness. It didn't get God's attention, so to speak, when it comes to forgiveness. And so many people today are still trying to piece together their own religion. Let me read this tonight. I come across this. The Bible is the only text that teaches salvation apart from works and grace alone. You think about that. All these other religious texts is based off of works. Ain't that right? And what's sad, though, is some take the Bible and turn it around and make it of works, you see. The Roman Catholics say salvation is through participating in sacraments, beginning with baptism. And what they mean by that is they're talking about infant baptism. Amen? Let me just run a little rabbit here tonight. Whenever we meet with other churches and stuff, that's okay. Let me tell you something, I'm not going to rub shoulders with somebody that baptizes babies, amen? That's wicked. That's wicked. And so sacraments begin with baptism. Hindus say salvation is through participating with Dharma and working out one's karma. Buddhism says that salvation is by reaching nirvana through life works and meditation. Finally, the misled Christian says that salvation is through living right. A lot of people reach the end of their way and they're in their life and they say, well, I've tried to do right. I've lived the best that I can. Let me tell you something, living right's not good enough. It's no different than those fig leaves that Adam sewed together. And so what it takes the grace of God, which is unmerited favor. It's unearned. It's not achieved, but it's given by God. And so now, how is Adam going to restore that favor with God that he once had? How is he going to get to the place to where he can fellowship with God? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You see, as I began there in Hebrews and spoke of that, it takes faith all the way to the beginning. You say, well, that was under the law. That was before the law, amen. Praise God, it's always been of faith. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It's always been faith, and it's no different. Still faith today. You must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so the Bible says in our text, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. So it says evidence there. And so tonight, as we look at Adam and we look at others here, they had faith, and there's going to be evidence of that faith. There's going to be evidence of that faith. And so we don't have to dig very far, and we can see evidence of that faith that they had. I believe, number one tonight, three things, and I'll be done. Number one, they had evidence in the acceptance of God's clothing. You see, God had a plan. He knew that he needed to be covered. But God had a plan that was superior to His. And, you know, I believe that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Maybe Adam had good intentions by trying to do something. But I believe something wasn't good enough. And so God revealed His way. God revealed what was what was going to be God's means of redemption, and it was through the blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. And so two things happen here. Whenever they was clothed in these coats of skins, in chapter number 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Number one, an animal had to die. And for an animal to die, had to have bloodshed. Amen? There was bloodshed. And so in that, Adam got to witness and Adam got to see, hey, in order for me to have a restored type of fellowship with God, in order for me to be clothed, in order for me to have this guilt lifted, something's got to give its life. Something's got to shed its blood. And friend, he saw that pattern right there. God revealed it to him. God showed it to him and revealed that to him. Do you believe what God's revealed to you about salvation? About the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? When you hear about Calvary, you hear about the cross, and you hear about when they run the crown of thorns down in his head, and when they pierce his side, they put the nails in his hands and his feet. Do you believe that as God's revealed it to you in the Scriptures? You must if you want to be saved. Amen? And so the blood had to be shed, number two, an application had to be made. You say, well, what was that application? Whenever God clothed them, that clothing and that coat of skin stood as a picture of God clothing us in the righteousness of Christ. And the appropriation of that righteousness is through faith. Just as whenever they took the hyssop there in Exodus and applied the blood, it's the same thing. That's faith. It has to be applied. In other words, God has made the sacrifice. Jesus died on the cross, but it has to be applied. Amen. And so him receiving and accepting God's clothing and God's covering is a type of faith and the application that had to be made. And just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted, the Bible doesn't say he was made righteous. It was accounted unto him. It was placed over on his account. And account, impute, and reckon. Romans chapter number 4, those three, they all mean the same thing. It means to place over on the one's account. And so God, through faith, it takes the righteousness of the darling Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that sinner puts their faith and trust in Christ, puts that righteousness over onto that sinner's account. And they're not righteous, but they're righteous through Him. Being made righteous, praise God. And it's placed over onto one's account. Okay, so we see the application. All right, number two tonight, we see the evidence of his faith in the teaching of his children. Look with me, if you will, in verses number 1 of chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. We'll talk about that more here in a minute when we close. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You see, I believe that that they would have known, and Abel would have known about the accepted offering that God would be pleased with through his father Adam. That God would have revealed it to Adam, and then Adam would have revealed it to him. That's how God works. Whenever God saved you, was there somebody involved? Amen. Was there somebody that preached? Was there somebody that that witnessed to you? Was there somebody that lived godly? Was there somebody that loved the Word of God? Yes, every single one of us had somebody that we could say, hey, God used them in me getting saved. Amen. That's how he did it here, I believe. He used Adam to speak to his son. Why wouldn't he? Why would he withhold that information? Remember, he knew what it was like to live in the paradise of God. And so why would he withhold that from his sons? I said, listen, boys, I know what it was like to live in whenever we had complete fellowship with God. Let me tell you something. It was wonderful. And you know, I'm sure he had regrets. I'm sure Eve had regrets. But listen, there's a way to make it right. God came along and He shed the blood. Those made them coats of skins for us, and we was clothed. And that's what God appreciates, and that's what God accepts. And so that's how Abel would have known to offer those offerings. And so there was evidence there in that he shared that with them. Abel knew that. But there's another thing too as I was studying this. Jesus said that Abel was a prophet. Ain't that something? Luke chapter 11, verse 50, the Bible says that the blood of all the prophets, okay, it's talking about all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. He put Abel right there in that group of prophets. Ain't that something? That mean God showed him something. God spoke to him. He knowed what was right, and it was revealed to him. But Cain refused the instruction that was given. And it's a picture of, you know, a works-based salvation. Imagine working that crop that whole year. All the work that went involved. Of course, Adam knowed what it was like when he just went out in the garden and would pick it off the vine and have his fruit and have all our food like that. But now you have to till the ground. Now you'd have to, as the weeds come up, Adam could have said, I remember what was them plants didn't come along till we sinned. All them weeds coming up. And so now Cain, he's dealing with that. And he's cutting the weeds out. And he's farming. He's working. He's doing his best that he can. And then he said, I'm going to make this, like I said, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. I'm going to make an offering unto the Lord. But friend, God didn't accept it because it wasn't God's way. It was His way. God's never going to accept your way. God's never going to accept my way. The only way He accepts is the way of faith, believing what He's going to do. Okay, so the teaching of His children, there's evidence there that things was passed along. There's evidence there that He was willing to share that with others. And I believe that in the life of a Christian, if you've got saving faith, there'll be evidence there in the fact that you want to share that with others. You want to live a life that's godly for the sake of our Savior, and that to brings Him glory and honor. And not only that, so that folks can be saved, praise God. And so, but I don't want to pass this up. Cain, I believe he had a way to make it right. God showed mercy on him. God gave him a space, I believe, to repent. Look there in verse 7 of chapter 4. If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I've looked at that word sin. It in Hebrew it means sin, and it means this, the sin offering. I believe God gave him a chance to make it right. Isn't that how God works? You know, He just don't take a sinner the first time that he sins and send him to hell. But He gives a man an opportunity. He gives man a space to repent. And I believe that He give Cain a time to repent here. And He said, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And so he had an opportunity to make a blood offering and a blood sacrifice, but he chose to murder his brother. And wasn't that something? The first generation right there, how bad sin digresses right off. So we see the evidence in the accepting of God's clothing. Number two, the teaching of His children. And number three tonight, the expectation that God will do what He said. I want to look at Eve for a moment here and the promise that was given. And whenever they sinned, the first thing that God did was He went to the serpent. You see, God goes to the source of things. Serpent, he was the one that first sinned. Sin was found in him, by the way. Amen. Verse 14 of chapter 3, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here in the 15th verse of the third chapter of the book of Genesis, we find the first messianic prophecy the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many things that we can take from this one verse here and apply to us. Number one, it was the seed of the woman. You know what that points to? It points to a virgin birth. And it didn't say the seed of the man, but it was the seed of the woman. And praise God, Jesus was born of a virgin, our Savior. It says here that they be strife. And you know what? There still is strife. If you want to look at the root cause of all the strife and the contention that's in the world today, it can all be traced back to sin. Amen. That strife between good and evil. But there would be an end to it. Or actually, to better say, there'll be an end to him. That is the devil. And that will come whenever you see that bruising of the head. That's a deadly wound. The bruising of the heel, that's a picture of Christ at Calvary. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Isaiah pleased the Lord to bruise him. Amen? And so that wasn't a deadly wound. He did die, but friend, he got up from the dead. But friend, one day after a while, Jesus is going to stomp the devil plumb to hell. Amen? And it'll be done. It'll be over with. He'll be in the lake of fire. And so we look here at this. What did God... Okay, so imagine Eve. I want you to put yourself in Eve's shoes for a moment here. You know how a mother cares for children. Imagine how she felt knowing that she was responsible for all what her families had to go through. Imagine the guilt that she would abhor. I believe that they're human just like us, have emotion and feeling just like you and I do. And I believe that there would have been guilt there to think, boy, I've really messed things up for our family and our home. But you know what? God gave a promise to her. And that the seed of the woman would be the one that would bring ultimate destruction to the serpent, the one that caused all the problem, the one that tempted her. So there's a hope now that there would be one born that would come up and bring the ultimate destruction to Satan. And so do you think that Eve, as she heard of this and had an awareness of this, do you think now that she's still questioning God's word like she did, like when the Satan come to her? See, she done learned her lesson. She done learned that the devil's a liar. And so I believe she had learned not to question God's word anymore and not to go down that path. So I don't believe she sat around and said, well, did God really mean that the seed of my seed is going to be the one to bring destruction to that? I believe we see there that we see the first perversion of the word of God. Amen. They learned that didn't end well when you start changing God's word, when you start moving things around, when you start questioning the word of God. She done learned that didn't work. And I believe though she'd come to the conclusion that God meant what he said and that God was going to send a seed, not 2,000 years from now, not 4,000 years from now, but God was going to send somebody through her, the seed of the woman. You say, well, what evidence do you have for that? Look with me in chapter number 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. I believe she was looking for that Savior. I believe through faith, she said, God's going to send one. Of course, we know that he wasn't. But I believe she was looking at that moment. She wasn't waiting for any time. She knew that God was going to do what he said, and she believed that it could be right then and right there. And then you look on over whenever she had Seth. And the Bible says in chapter 5, in chapter 4 and verse 25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, for God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And of course, Seth wasn't that Messiah, wasn't that messianic promise. But I tell you what, she had faith enough to believe what God had told her. And I believe from here on out, there was a godly seed of people that was looking for God to send that Messiah, that was looking for God to send somebody, hey, to make things right and restore that fellowship that Adam had with God back there in the garden. And we see through the Bible, there was people that believed God. They'd get down to where they was just maybe a remnant. But there's always somebody that believed God. And tonight, I would ask us to question Bible says there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Do you have that faith that Adam and Eve had and Abel to just believe that God's God and God is who He says that He is and God's righteous and that Jesus died on the cross and that He rose again from the dead? Do you have that same faith to believe that? I hope and pray you do tonight. If not, amen, you need to exercise that faith. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him before it's too late. Faith in the beginning. That's what the Lord's laid on her heart tonight. I appreciate your attention.